Love Talk Radio.
This is syndicatednews.net from Blog Talk Radio interviewing Miss Patty Nicholas. Patty, are you here?
I'm here.
Welcome to syndicatednews.net. Tell us about your work in the Keys.
Okay, Lizzie. Well, I'm a realtor in the Florida Keys and specifically in the Lower Keys. And I've been down here for 25 years. I've been a realtor down here for 21 years now.
And you said your son has gone through all the school system there?
Yes, he was born in Key West and went to school here, started in the Big Pine Cooperative Preschool a long time ago, and that no longer exists. But he did go to school here in Big Pine Key and then went to the Sugarloaf K through 8 school and then went to Marathon. When you live in Big Pine Key, actually the children can go to Key West High School or to the Marathon High School. And now he'll be 21 this summer, and he's up at the University of Florida in Gainesville.
Excellent. Now, I understand you work specifically in the Lower Keys, is that right?
Yes, that's my specialty, is being a resident here in Big Pine Key. And we think about the Keys as mile markers. It's over 100 miles long. And US 1 runs down the Keys. The Lower Keys, where I concentrate primarily, is from mile marker 15 up to the 7 mile bridge, which is, there's really not any real estate beyond mile marker 34 until you get to the other side of the 7 mile bridge. And just so that your listeners, if they're not familiar with the Keys, mile marker 0 is down in Key West. That's where US 1 begins. And goodness, I think it goes all the way up into Maine.
That's the southernmost part of the United States.
Yes, it is.
And tell us about pricing. How is pricing right now? I hear it's nicely affordable. Is that correct?
Well, it is. It is. And I think it depends on where you're coming from and where you live. But our prices are very good right now. They are down. I mean, of course, we had a real increase in prices through 2004 and 5, and I guess it would have begun more in 2003, but we had an appreciation at that time of over 30% a year for about 3 years in a row. Well, that's all changed. We were affected here in the Keys as the rest of the United States. Certainly that was not a sustainable appreciation, and things are much more reasonable now. And a person can buy a canal front home on the water for in the 300s. Not a very big house. It won't be very big, but for the most part, our homes are smaller than average because we spend a lot of time outdoors.
I agree. Absolutely. And Patty, tell us about the short sales. How are the short sales doing?
Well, you know, we are working our way through the short sales, I think, like people are in the rest of the United States. We do have a lot of short sales here in the Keys, and they can take a long time. They can take 4 months to get resolved, but I recently had one that took 13 months from beginning of the contract to the closing, and we had a very patient buyer. And I think that's something that people have to remember, buyers have to remember. If it's a short sale, it was not for the buyer who needs to move in quickly. Buyer who's buying a short sale has to be patient, and there are not any guarantees that it will go through.
Patty, for the listeners who are not familiar, there are still people who are not familiar with what a short sale is. Could you just give us a definition, especially for buyers who are coming in from Latin America, say Santiago, Chile, or Buenos Aires, Argentina, or even mainland China or Hong Kong, because now the amount of the extra income that a family had 5 years ago in China has quadrupled, and regular businesses are now flourishing dramatically. So their income is very dramatic, and their families in China are now investing in the U.S. and buying homes. Some are interested in the Keys. What would you say to them? What is a short sale?
In a short sale situation, the market value of the home, the sale price of the home, will not cover the mortgage, will not pay off the mortgage. And it has to do with the shortage of the money to pay off the mortgage. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with the amount of time, because it's not a short period of time that it will happen. And so you have actually a third party involved, because the contract is negotiated between the buyer and the seller. But then the third party is, everything gets submitted to the seller's bank. And it's a lengthy process for the seller's bank to go through everything. They have to approve the short sale. And what they do is the seller has to turn in all their financial information. And it's a lengthy process. It can be stressful. But the sellers have to show that they have a hardship. And I think these lenders also are dealing with so many short sales throughout the country that it definitely takes time. It is a process that everyone has to be patient with, and many times additional information has to be submitted. And the seller has to submit bank statements and pay stubs. And the bank wants to know that this is the best that they're going to do. And if they have a second mortgage, that adds another layer to the whole process. And sometimes the second lender may not agree to the short sale. There really is not a guarantee. We don't really know until the end how it will work out.
Okay. And what about foreclosures or bank-owned properties? Are they easier to buy or not? Are they easier?
You know, they are. They're easier from the standpoint of when you negotiate with the seller, who is the bank, then you know you have a deal. And we are seeing more bank-owned properties come on the market. Some of them are... To back up to the short sale is a pre-foreclosure step. Some of these short sales don't get resolved in time, and they do get foreclosed on, and other sellers don't even try the short sale process. But I've sold several bank-owned properties, and the banks, they price them two different ways. Some of the banks price them very aggressively and below a market value, and what happens then is there will be multiple offers. There might be 8 or 10 or 13 offers on a property, and the buyers have to come in with their highest and best offer. And then there are others where the bank has put maybe too high of a price, and the house needs a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
And they sit with the house, and they'll reduce it maybe if it hasn't sold in 30 days. They have the formula, and they'll make a price reduction, and they'll continue to do that until they do get to the magic number, which generates the interest.
I see. And what about regular sales? How are they doing? Just regular sales that are not in foreclosure, that are not short sales, just regular routine home sales. A home goes up for sale, and what's the activity there? Is it regular? Is it routine right now? Are you selling the same as last year and the year before?
We do have a lot of sales that are not short sales, not bank-owned, just regular sellers. And the realtor, you always appreciate when you're not dealing with a short sale. And we do have a fair number that are not short sales and are not bank-owned. And our sellers who are just selling, who are not in that financial situation, you know, they can sell for different reasons. Some of them...
I was just going to ask, why do people sell?
Well, there's not a usual reason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes people buy down here for retirement, and they want to come down, and they want to fish and dive and do all those fun things and take it easy down here. But then a lot of times what happens is you reach a certain age and decide to move back closer to family. It's a wonderful place to spend retirement years, but when it comes time to maybe not be so active, they like to go home and be closer to family or grandchildren. And some sellers are, we do have people who move out of the area. They go to other parts of Florida or the United States. They've lived here for a while, and then they move on. And we actually, in the Lower Keys, have a fair number of people who are tied in with the Navy base. We have a Navy base down in Boca Chica and down in Key West. So we do have civilians who work down there and other sellers. A lot of our homes are second homes for people, and they decide that comes the time and they're not using it as much as they were.
And you're right, if they've gone there to relax and retire, and now mm-hmm. they're of an age where they're not fishing and diving and jumping in the water anymore, I guess. At that point, they do want to be close to family, and also family, you know, they have grandchildren, I'm sure, and it's probably more costly to bring an entire family with children down to the Keys than it is for the grandparents to just move up there.
I think it depends, but we do have a lot of grandparents who live down here, and their grandkids come down, and actually our office admin has her granddaughter right now for the summer, and she's down here, and she's going to the different camps this summer down here. And actually, to back up to some of the sellers, we do have sellers who are local, who are changing homes. They're moving up, getting something bigger. Sometimes people, when they buy their second home for a vacation home, you know, they when they're ready to come down and retire, they end up selling that and buying something else. Or we have people who don't live on the water who decide they want to live on the water. So we do have a market right within the Keys as well.
And Patty, I wanted to ask you, who comes to the Keys?
We have people who come from all over the United States, and we do have people who like to come and rent for a month at a time, but we have a lot of people from the Midwest and from the Northeast and from Carolinas and Georgia. We also, I've worked with customers who come from Wisconsin and California. So we do have people who come from those areas too, but you know, I think that I would say basically east of the Mississippi, just because it's easier for traveling.
Do you have a lot of Floridians coming down just to enjoy the summer?
We do, and usually Floridians come down with, they'll bring their boats. They'll trailer their boats down, and we're seeing more and more of that now because of the summer months. The fishing is great at this time of year, and then at the end of July is our lobster mini season, and the mini season is when individuals are able to, there's a quota and rules, but they can spend a couple of days going out and getting their lobsters. The lobster season itself officially opens up in early August. And so then usually for the whole month of August, we're very busy with people down here coming and bringing their boats and their tickle sticks and their nets and going out and getting the lobsters. And then it gets a little bit quieter once school starts. September's actually a nice time of year down here because it's a little bit quieter. We don't have quite as many people because school has started and the Floridians have gone back home.
And Patty, could you tell us what exactly is the 28-day rental? What is that?
Well,
tell us about that.
I can't remember how long it's been, but I'm going to guess it was about 14 or 15 years ago. There was a referendum, and countywide, the voters voted, and it was a very close margin, but the voters voted to not allow vacation rentals in unincorporated Monroe County unless they were 28 days or over 28 days long, so that there are not any, most of unincorporated Monroe County, the zoning is such that, you know, you cannot have weekly rental. And we do have a lot of people, though, who will come down and they'll rent for a month at a time. And in the winter, they'll rent for maybe a couple of months or some people repeat. People will come and use the same house for 2 or 3 months at a time. It did change our rental market when that happened. You know, we did lose, you know, because a lot of people only have a week. But what they'll do now is maybe they'll only be able to stay for 2 weeks, but they have to, the rental has to be blocked out for the full 28 days and cannot be rented again during that 28-day period. However, an owner could just use their own house if it was vacant.
Yes.
Now, unincorporated Monroe County is outside of Key West. Key West is a city. Marathon is a city. Key Colony Beach is a city. Layton is a city. And then the Isla Mirada area is quite a few miles in the Upper Keys that are a city. So Key Largo itself is part of unincorporated Monroe County. So the cities all have their own rules as well.
And what about the Lower Keys? What's there to do there? Because I know in the Upper and Middle Keys, they have quite a bit of entertainment. What about the Lower Keys? What's going on there?
Well, the Lower Keys, we are definitely quieter here, and I think that's why a lot of people like it. You get over the 7 Mile Bridge, and there's just actually the whole, if you look at a map, the way the Keys are laid out, once you get to the west side of the 7 Mile Bridge, our Keys are situated kind of north and south, and the highway runs almost east and west through here. Well, we have the Honda State Park, and it's beautiful natural beaches there. And here in the Lower Keys themselves, we have, there are several restaurants, and there are several places where you can go listen to music. Some have music every night, but it's, for the most part, much lower key here in the Lower Keys. And Big Pine Key does have, we are the major island between Marathon and Key West. So we have the major commercial area. We do have a grocery store, and there is shopping here. If you want, you can easily drive into Key West to dinner. And actually, the other islands, I should mention the other islands. There's Ramrod Key has a couple of places to eat, and Summerland Key, Cudgel Key. So those are all part of the Lower Keys, and Sugarloaf Key is down there. They don't have Well, they do have a restaurant down there. So Lower Keys are made up of quite a few islands.
And I understand you have a local artist gallery. Could you tell us about that?
We do.
Tell
it's,
us about that.
Artists in Paradise, the Artists in Paradise Gallery. And it's a co-op of local artists, and it is located in our shopping plaza. We have the Winn-Dixie Shopping Plaza. They just have wonderful artwork in there, from paintings to sculptures, metal sculptures, and actually there's Framing in Paradise is located right in there too. So you can purchase your piece of art, and then you can get it framed there as well. And one thing that's fun that they will do during the season, when the more of our winter months, we have something called a Walk on Winn-Dixie on the first Friday night of each month.
What is
and
that?
The different shops and stores located in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Plaza, many of them participate, and there will be some outdoor music, and you can go from one place to the next and take a look inside, and some of them offer wine and some cheese and crackers. Fishing and Wildlife Visitor Center is currently located there, and they open up. And so it's just, it is a way to bring people out to go into the different shops and see what we have there in Big Pine Key.
And I was wondering, I know that the library, I believe, has Wi-Fi. Are there any other areas that have free Wi-Fi for those computer-attached folk like myself?
The library does. The library does, and actually we have a little health food store here in Big Pine, the Good Food Conspiracy, and I stopped in there yesterday and saw the little note they have on their window, and I had forgotten they have Wi-Fi there too. I'm sure there are other places. I just can't think of them right now. But there are some places you can go and get your free Wi-Fi.
And I wanted to ask you just about pricing. You were telling me before that right now, property on the canal, you can find an average $400,000 or less. Is that about right?
Yes. Right now, our average sale prices in the Lower Keys is under $400,000. Keys-wide, the average sale price is over $400,000. And I'm looking at numbers through May. We may see that, I think in the Lower Keys, we're going to see that change and actually bump up for the month of June, because we had a $3.5 million closing recently in the month of June, and another one that sold just under $1.6 million. However, if we look at the pending contracts there, the average price of the pending contracts is under $400,000. So, you know, it'll all kind of even itself out. But there are good opportunities in all price ranges right now. Then there are non-waterfront homes that people can buy in the around 200. We have a few. It's pretty slim. A lot of those are the short sales. But there are homes that you can buy around 200.
There is availability. That's very good.
There is. But a lot of those are under contract.
And Patty, is it routine? Because everyone has mentioned to me that I've spoken to about typically you should have 20% down payment. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say typically, especially if it's a second home, plan on 20% down. But if someone's buying primary residence, they can get the FHA loan or get a 96.5% FHA loan. But if you're thinking about a second home, yes, you need to plan on 20% down. There are a few owners out there offering owner financing, but not a lot. We don't have a lot of owner financing down here. And we also don't have a lot of owners who are interested in lease purchases, or at least to purchase where you would have the option to buy it. Most of our sellers are really not interested in doing that.
They don't want a long-term arrangement. They want to be done with it, I think.
Right. They have their plans, what they're going to do is to move on. And you have a lot of sellers who are not selling for quite what they bought it for, but it is the way that it is. It's a fact of life right now, and a lot of them are just making that business decision to go ahead and sell and go on to the next chapter in their life.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being so gracious. Her cell phone number is 305-304-6949, and her website is www.bestkeysagent.com, and we'll spell that out for you, www.bestkeysagent.com. That's Patty Nicholas. Thank you so much for giving us your time and being so gracious about it. We really appreciate your interview.
Well, you're welcome, Ruthie. I love it down here in the Keys, and I don't know where else I would live, so I'm glad to share that with everybody.
Where are you from originally, or are you from that region?
Oh, actually, originally from Ohio. And my husband and I left Ohio back in 1978, decided to put everything in storage and buy a sailboat. And we lived on a sailboat and did a little cruising around in the Bahamas and South Florida. And then, after about 6 years, it was time to settle down, and we discovered the Keys. So we've been here ever since 1985.
How lovely. That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing it here at syndicatednews.net.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ruthie.